Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the score.
Luca Burton to Turd.
6'206", ran a 4.41 40.
Not at his pro day.
What was his pro day time?
He didn't run at his pro day, I don't believe, because he didn't feel like he needed to. Even though his quarterback needed some help, he decided he wasn't going to participate. A lot of people are talking about that. That's why guys are dropping. If he doesn't get the ball when he believes he should, becomes unfocused.
Okay.
Explosive with the ball in his hands. You get a lot of usage out of him. At times, they seem to force the ball to him. Here's the criticism right now.
Okay.
Against bigger and physical teams, didn't answer the bell with the same energy.
When we look at all this, Steven, obviously these guys are moldable, right? This is a work in progress. You say that all the time.
You hope some are.
Yes, you hope you are. And obviously the more moldable the player is, the more coachable he is, the more you want him in your room.
Yes, sir.
If you're the position coach specifically, certain traits are correctable. Certain traits are correctable by the individual.
Correct.
Because it's a lot of want to.
Really awesome 89 show pod that you should check out on YouTube with our next guest and Steve Smith Sr. We talked about it as a show after checking it out, and we're like, you know what? This is a perspective that we need to get on the air so people know what it is that has been said and how Luther Burden got here and maybe even ended up being someone that the Bears could draft. James Palmer does an incredible job for Underdog Sports and Bleacher Report. The 89 show is fantastic. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. James, thanks for joining us. I thought that you guys' breakdown of Burden, it was really developed because you guys won 20 minutes talking about him and breaking him down. As a prospect, what's the background here? What are important things that you think Chicago fans need to know?
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. And we went 20 minutes. I think we went that length on a lot of these prospects. It's been a deep dive specifically on these receivers. So check them out. And Luther's was an interesting one for sure, because one of my favorite things about doing the show with Steve, who's one of my best friends, is he comes with his intel, I come with my intel, and we don't discuss it till the show starts. And as you can see, as you guys said, you watched it, like a lot of carryover, right, between what I heard and what he heard. And I always find that to be really interesting from what he's seeing in film, what he's hearing from people around the league, what I'm hearing from people around the league. The consensus really was this. There's definitely some question marks. And where he lands is going to be interesting and how that team handles those question marks. Universally, everyone I talk to, from receiver coaches to pro personnel guys to assistant GMs, GMs, offensive coordinators, the guy can go. You put the ball in his hands, he puts his foot in the ground, he can make people miss. He is electric. It's a different player when he's running the route than when the ball gets in his hand. And I found that to be kind of an interesting, almost universal thing that was brought up. And is that correctable? Like, that's one of those things. Is some of the character questions that some people had around the league about him, are those correctable? Was that part of his situation? Was that part of his situation with the coaching staff? How he was used? Is that what he can run? Or is that what the coaching staff could use? all of these things were really, guys, a lot of questions that teams were trying to figure out and working really hard to figure those out because the talent is there.
So James Palmer, yeah, that was a great breakdown. And Lauren sent it into the group chat, and he's like, listen to Steve Smith. But I went back and I listened to you because, you know, yeah, you're the stuff that got me, man, for whatever. Steve is like, you know, whatever. He's an NFL wide receiver. But here's the thing. I'm not an NFL wide receiver, and you're not, but you've clearly dug into the news part of it. And that part was especially fascinating. So with that in mind, they know this, right? Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles know all of this. And we've listened very carefully to what Ben has said. They must have the belief that Ben and Antoine Randall-El are up to the task of coaching this guy the right way.
Yeah, I think there's, and I'm not sure if this is the episode I said it in or not. It might have been in one we were doing on Travis Hunter, honestly. And breaking news, all position coaches are not created equal, guys, in the NFL. I was actually at the CU showcase up in Boulder talking to an NFC wide receiver coach who was like, I'd say there's 7 good wide receiver coaches in the league. And we were talking about this with Travis Hunter because position coaches have to be, in certain instances, much more in depth than just going, you know, no, on this, you got to run a post. No, on this, it's a curl. There's a lot of intricacies that go into your position coaching. If you have a really good one, and I think Luther would benefit from having a really good one, which I think he does in Chicago, those are the teams that usually have more confidence when picking players that have some of the questions that I brought up, right? If you're curious about a player where it goes, all right, this is one of the biggest recruits Missouri's had in recent memory. He, because of that, was maybe granted some liberties on campus. He was kind of able to do whatever he wanted to do on campus in some people's minds. Is that something that when a change of scenery happens and that position coach and that offensive coordinator and that organization bring that together and that's no longer an issue? Those are what good staffs have the ability to evaluate and have the ability to correct. I think that's why at the beginning of the process, and that's why these are all pieces of the process, he was considered right up there with Matthew Golden and Tech McMillan. And then as the process was going on, I'm hearing from more teams going like, no, he's a second round pick because we have these things that need to be answered. Now we'll find out if, right, Ben Johnson is running an organization and a coaching staff to where these things can be corrected. Because, you know, I always say these guys are works in progress because they're just starting their NFL journey. The talent is exceptional, especially with the ball in his hands. So what did they see that was correctable, I think, is going to be paying off big time, or it's going to be rearing its head pretty early, actually.
I'm guessing that Antoine Randall-El is one of those 7 good wide receiver coaches because of the way the Lions receivers played, and then also because Ben Johnson gives him a promotion to assistant head coach so we could bring him over from Detroit. Right, James?
Yeah. He's definitely in that group. It's funny because I asked him when he said, you know, some guys just talk, and I was like, all right, give me the 7. And I'm not going to tell you guys the 7 because I don't want to roast all the coaches across the league, but he was on that group. He was on that list. And I think that's really important when you have guys that have a ceiling like Luther has. And has the ability also, let's not just talk about Luther. Like, let's talk about Rome and what he needs to grow. We did a great breakdown evaluating his entire rookie season. I'm just here plugging the channel. And we did a great breakdown of Rome and what his rookie season was about and what could happen. So it's not just with Luther, but obviously that's the focal point here, because when you have a ceiling as high as his can be, what are the little intricacies that the guy who spends every day with you can fix and correct, not only in terms of your game, which how do we get the route running to be as explosive as it is with the yards after the catch, but then the character questions that some teams have and a couple of things that need to be figured out very early. Well, the position coach is a huge, huge part of that because Ben Johnson, we all know, has a ton on his plate.
I love that you do the show with Steve Smith. He's always been one of my favorites. I was covering the playoff game where he went for 218 and 2 touchdowns against the Bears back in 2006, where he just turned the lights out on the Bears in that game. But I do know that there are people that get upset with what I think are honest breakdowns that he does. And he even mentioned that, like, hey, maybe he won't even want to talk to me after he hears this. I'd love to know, as much as you're willing to share, how many of the guys that maybe talk tough then get back to Steve and get better because of what he's trying to tell them on how to do their craft?
Yeah, it's more than you think. honestly. I put players in different categories. Like a really good example is I live here in Denver. Tim Patrick, who was with Ben Johnson up there in Detroit, and just a grinding type of receiver. He's a Utah guy. Steve's a Utah guy. I remember Tim telling me, like, Steve, I sent him my reel and plays, and he just ripped me to shreds. And I wrote him back, give me more. What else do you need? What else do you want to rip me apart about? Steve loves those type of guys because that was Steve. Steve got destroyed in draft evaluations. He was evaluated as just a return man, if you remember, when yes. he came into the league. Nobody thought he was going to be a receiver. Like, he met, I believe, during the draft process. We were having this conversation the other day. I think he only met one offensive coordinator during his draft process. Like, only physically spoke to one because that's how he was viewed. So he loves when he knocks guys down and then they come right back at him, but also in a manner of which, okay, like, what else did you see? Like, that went on at the CU showcase. Him and I were standing right there next to Travis Hunter, and in between reps, Travis was coming over, and they were kind of like barking at each other. Like, they were going back and forth with each other, and then afterwards, Travis comes over, what'd you think? Like, what'd you think? Everybody asks for Steve's opinion, and I think that's the cool part. It's not just players, man. We had like four or five head coaches there going, Steve, why don't you coach, man? Come on, you evaluate the game, why don't you coach? Steve goes, you know why I don't coach? Because I don't like to repeat myself. And I thought that was a pretty good response.
That is outstanding. Speaks also, you can put Steve Smith on the list of guys that I will sometimes get mistaken for. Like, if I put on a cap.
Oh, I can see that. I got 100% right?
And you flip,
that.
Do the flip up? The
yeah.
Steve Smith look,
it, I actually, flip her up? Yeah. I have my Chance the Rapper White Sox cap is actually yeah. perfect for that. And then I could, and shout out, for a like while, it. His son was playing soccer at DePaul. My alma mater.
Yeah. Steve Smith's was?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody knows that I get mistaken for James Palmer all the time.
All the time.
It just it happens
all the time.
Especially, I went as James for Halloween one year.
It's funny.
Oh, Layla, I dig that.
Layla Rahimi walked in here and said, you look just like a guy I used to work with, James Palmer. It's funny that she's
my girl.
Yeah. She's now our midday host here at The Score. She speaks super highly of you.
Oh, we go way back. Yeah, we go way back. I've known Layla since our days in Houston. My first time in the NFL, covering Texans on a daily basis down there many moons ago with Gary Kubiak and company, with a dynamite quarterback, nothing like Caleb Williams, Matt Schaub running the show.
Hey, James, what have people told you around the league about Ben Johnson?
Yeah, it's I'll start with one of the more interesting ones that's been given to me, and this has been said to me by a couple of guys who have taken over as a first-time head coach and then taken over play calling in that first year. And they were like, this isn't a slight to Ben. I think he's the best play caller in football. This offense coordinator was telling me. And he was like, but when I became a head coach and calling plays my first year, I was not nearly the play caller that I was when I was just focused on calling plays. There is so many more people coming into your room, whether it's the PR staff, whether it's the medical staff, whether it's business side of things, whether it's football operations, all this knocks on your door. To be able to handle all of it is a big undertaking. But I think Ben's process, he told me, is an advantage because he kind of has gone through it a couple of years. He's been preparing for it a
yes.
couple of years. I don't think anything I'm saying right now, he probably hasn't heard or prepared for, right? Like, these little idiosyncrasies that happen with being a head coach that are not there when you're an offensive coordinator, a lot of guys are learning those on the job. Like, hiring your staff is one of the biggest things that you do, right? And the questions that most guys I've talked to that have had multiple cracks at being a head coach is, the questions I ask the second time around, guys, are so much different than the questions I asked the first time.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Just because I learned so much about what I'm looking for in assistance. My point of this is the length that Ben has taken in this process, I think, is an advantage for him, and the encouragement that he has had from others around him about preparing him for this, I think, helps him in some of these. Some of them you're never going to learn outside of just doing them on the job, right? They're just impossible to simulate. But I do think because of the way his process has gone and the way he's gone about it, prepares him a little bit better than some other first-year head coaches. But I think he's going to be outstanding. There's a reason why so many places wanted him, even when they didn't have a chance at him. I think the cultural change that we've seen there already, to me, the interior of the line moves in free agency. Joe Tooney is one of my favorite players in this league. You talk to anybody in Kansas City about the importance of those Super Bowl runs and what Joe Tooney played in those. I think him changing kind of the look of the way Chicago approaches things with those three moves on the interior line, even before the draft, kind of shows me what Ben's shooting for.
Your thoughts, James Palmer, echoes some of the reporting that we did on this show leading up to Ben Johnson's hiring and just after, when we were able to share with people that he took the extra year of being the number one head coaching candidate to really think about everything you're talking about, what his challenges would be as a first-year head coach who's also a play caller. And look what he's got. Dennis Allen, sure, somebody who can handle the defense, we know that's good. But huge. Declan Doyle is there's an administrative component to what Declan Doyle is happily willing to do as an offensive coordinator that speaks to exactly what you're talking about. And I don't know how much it exists in this way in the NFL, that there's an OC who's going to do some of the grunt work like Declan Doyle is so willingly. It's really fascinating how Ben has made this happen.
I now understand the Halloween costume. Like, now I get it. This is because we're all on the exact same page here.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
More thing before we let you go, James. How did you view the discussion around Shador? Because you've been to Boulder. You talk to NFL people all the time. I felt like it missed a lot of nuance. But I'd love to know someone who is in it every day what you thought was important about it.
I think the process wasn't handled properly. And I think Shador, to talking to people in Cleveland, handled his first media availability on that conference call with the Cleveland media exceptionally well and almost admitted that, yes, we went about this the wrong way. And I've said this before, and I think a perfect example of, and it's apples and oranges, but compare what Jackson Dart did in the process to what Shador did in the process. Let's go through Jackson Dart, right? He goes, and he was probably nowhere near Shador at the end of the college football season in some teams' minds, and he goes to the Senior Bowl, and he absolutely crushes it and talks to everybody and competes his ass off. And then he goes to the Combine, and he throws, and he really competes at the Combine, which is important for a lot of teams, getting to see one quarterback throw, then the next quarterback, then the next quarterback, and you can see traits really well there. At his pro day, he was asking teams what they wanted to see him do. And to me, going through all of those things, that Shador really didn't do any of them, and in all honesty, the showcase was a bit of like a ha-ha, laugh-laugh while we're going through the workout, which is a bit strange. Like, Shiloh's out there, like, telling jokes while he's going through his throwing process, which is like, this is a job interview. And the way some of the interviews went and the way teams told me the way some of the interviews went and the way he tried to dictate things, you can only dictate things when you're at the top of the draft. So I look at the way the two players handled it, and I think their spot in the draft kind of equates to how it was handled, but also we're seeing college players have a lot more power. So this is another part of the process we're going through when these guys are driving Bentleys like Shador to practice. So you can only dictate things if you're in the 1% of the 1% of the draft. We watched it with Marvin Harrison Jr. a year ago, who actually asked teams, do you need me to work out? They all said no. But then Abdul Carter took very few interviews. You can only handle the draft in the manner in which Shador handled it if your talent allows you to do that.
Yeah,
and I think we saw that his talent did not allow him to handle it that way.
Yeah, everything that people were afraid Caleb Williams was going to do last year and treat these interviews this way, apparently that's what Shador did. Diana Russini came out today and said that one executive told her that Shador approached his visits with teams as a recruiting trip instead of as a job interview. That's going to turn some people off right there.
It really is. And let's just not get it twisted here. Like, Shador's talent set is nowhere near Caleb Williams' talent set. So when you look at traits, he doesn't have any wow traits. Is he really, really tough? For sure. Is he accurate? Definitely. Are there athletic ability that can let you run around like, you know, like we've seen Caleb do, actually? No, it doesn't exist. And that's part of his game. And when you have elite athletes running you down, that's not really obviously going to translate. So his strengths didn't translate that well. And then when you go about a process to where there's not that many suitors, there really weren't that many suitors for you, and you turn a couple of them off early, I think it showed that he did understand, because his tone towards the end with his meetings, I was told, was very different than his tone in the beginning of the process. So what does that show us? That he was kind of figuring out, okay, I don't think we went about this the right way entirely. I'm excited, guys, to see him show up in Cleveland, because he probably landed in the best possible place he could. He's going to get a chance to compete. And what type of competitor are we going to see show up? Because he's never been coached by anybody outside of his dad after the age of like 14. And I'm not saying he can't do it, but I think we all want to see if he does, because I think we want to be proven a little bit wrong in this process, that he's going to go out there and in battle. And we're going to get a chance to see it because of the situation he's in.
James, thanks so much for your time. You need to check out the 89 Show on YouTube. All the stuff that you guys are doing with Underdog is incredible. Let's visit again soon, man. This was outstanding.
I don't come on Chicago enough. I don't like this. You know, both my parents are natives, you know, Arlington Heights, Roselle. I grew up going back home. And guys, have me back.
All right,
the Chicago.
Done deal.
We'll have you back on. I mean, you'll be our Arlington Heights correspondent for when the team moves there.
When the team moves there.
Or the Roselle correspondent for when the team moves there. You don't know, Lawrence.
You never know. Done. All of those things.
Fire department. Let's go.
Yeah. Shout out to the Roselle Fire Department.
Just another day.
My grandfather was chief, you know, no big deal.
Get out of here.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we talk a lot of Roselle Fire Department on this station.
I know. That's why I threw it in there, just so you guys could transition to your next guest or topic very easily.
Thank you very much.
It works out great because, you know, we know that the Roselle Fire Department softball team is strong. You know, they always beat the police. So, you know, like, it's
understandable.
It's a thing. It's a thing out here for sure. James, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you soon. Guys,
take it easy.
Thanks, James.
That's James Palmer of Underdog. And you should check out the 89 Show on YouTube. Seriously,